Lamar Jackson is ready for a fresh start. If he has it his way, he won't be wearing number 8 this season. On the Ravens team podcast, The Lounge, Jackson said he has a personal reason to change his jersey number as he approaches his 4th season.
Well, I already told him it's Megan. I said, we win the Super Bowl, I'm going to number 1. Like, I want to.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Really? All right.
That's my first number ever. My dad told me, number 1, get number 1 because that's the best. Like, you the best. And they always stuck with me. And I got number 8 when I went to college. And then my mom told me 8 stands for new beginning. So I was like, dang, it's a new beginning. So I kept 8. My coach asked me in college, he's like, what number you want? I'm like, I wanted number 1, but y'all gave me number 8. But it's all good because I know what it stands for now. And, you know, I just say I want to retire number 8 and number 1. I want to do that here at the Ravens. So I want to win a Super Bowl with number 8 on, do as much as I can with number 8 on, then come back and do the same thing with 1 on.
Worth noting, Lamar Jackson's not practicing today in a COVID-related case. The league still tries to process per Jameson Hensley and Adam Schefter. Jackson, who tested positive on Thanksgiving, had another test that NFL officials flagged. NFL is now going through science, and the Ravens are awaiting those answers. Super Bowl champ Jeff Saturday with us. Hey, Jeff, how we doing?
Fantastic. How you guys doing?
Good. See you, Jeff. Good. Let's get into it. I like all the depth behind his numbers. Number 8's new beginnings, and obviously we all know, Jeff, 1 means you're the best. But now let's focus on the Ravens. Are they legit Super Bowl contenders?
Man, not unless their offense grows, right? I think Greg Roman, the one thing I would say is this the offensive philosophy, the run first, I love it, right? You've got linemen built for it. You put your hand in the dirt. Everybody goes for it. You got big tight ends, physical. You got one of the most electric running quarterbacks in the game. But they have to develop the next level there. What do I mean by that? The play-action pass has to match exactly what the run game looks like. And I don't think it's there, right? You have all these zone reads. He's in shotgun. I think they're only under center like 6% of the time. Well, in play action, it's a lot of like just kind of putting the ball out there, but the defense can see it quickly and bail to position, right? I mean, you think about defensive players. They see 7-on-7, which is like pass skelly, which is only the pass players in a drill their whole lives. So they can adapt and adjust so quickly. I would like to see the offense go into, when you're going back to hand the ball, that fake really shows it. I can liken it to when I was with the Colts back early in my career. We ran the zone stretch play, the outside zone with Edgerrin James. And Peyton Manning practiced so many times of how he would fake the ball to Edgerrin, drop the head, and then hide the ball. And it looked exactly the same when he handed the ball to Edgerrin. And what that did is it gave you a split second on the back end, whether that was a linebacker, that was defensive backs. Everybody bought the fake, and it opened guys up. Marvin Harrison running wide open, Reggie Wayne, Dallas Clark, I mean Marcus Pollard, you name it. Guys got open because the design fake looked exactly like our run. I think that's the step that the Baltimore Ravens need to take to get their offense to the next level. We all understand they can run ground and pound, and they can be physical. I want to see explosive plays off of play action for Lamar Jackson.
And I think the elephant in the room, Jeff, is can Lamar Jackson improve as a passer? He started out his career promising as a passer. Given his age, he was more accurate than like anyone ever at the same age and experience, including Peyton Manning. You could say, well, that's because the way the offense was designed, whatever else. Bottom line is that was the fact, and he got better. He progressed. But the question is, has he plateaued, or is he still going to get better? The question is, are the weapons good enough, or do they need more? What's Rashad Bateman going to be, right? Like, he's not a guy, Jeff, whose size jumps out. He's not 6'3" or 6'5". He's not a guy whose 40 time jumps out. He's just a really good receiver, at least in college. Now right. He's got to be a really good receiver in the pros. And he's got to be with Hollywood Brown and maybe Sammy Watkins or whatever, a more dynamic receiving group than receiving core than Lamar Jackson's had so far. And he's got to make use of them. I don't want to overstate passing difficulties for Lamar Jackson. He has had a game with nearly 400 yards passing in the playoffs. But by and large, he's 150 to 200 yards passing. He's not the kind of threat going into year, what is it, 4 now?
Yeah.
That ideally would be for them to get past this. They're going to make the playoffs. They'll have a good record. Maybe they'll win a game. He's there with Mahomes and Rodgers and Brady. If he's the quarterback of your team and you have a defense, you could win a Super Bowl. I haven't seen that yet.
But again, Max, I take you back and say the scheme is what would allow him to get to that position, right? Is what you're asking him to do now is do all the zone read, use his legs to beat you like when they beat the Titans in the playoffs last year, right? I think he ran for almost as much as he threw for, right? And he has that big run to open the game up. Like, you don't want to limit those type of plays. So you want that whole offense to function that way. The issue, though, is to open up the plays you're talking about where guys are screaming down the field, and it doesn't have to be timing. It's, look, the route worked because the guy froze in the backfield. That all comes off of offensive scheme, and it has to go back to the details of this offense. Plays have to look the same. If you go back and watch their film, so many of their pass plays don't even liken their run game. Like, I mean, it doesn't even make sense, right? It goes from this zone read, aggressive downhill, to straight drop back. What I'm saying is they don't complement each other. And my point to him being able to take that next step that you're asking, I don't think there's a lot of quarterbacks that would come in and have the dual threat that he has that would be able to do it. You need to help design the offense to get those free runners in the backfield. Because to your point, their wide receivers have not been what you would say is just world beaters, right? You're going to get the ball in their hand, they're going to go make plays. But you do bring in Bateman, you do have Hollywood Brown. You are asking the tight ends to be a large part of this. Again, explosive plays through their tight ends. It has to be by design. I'm telling you, details make all the difference in the world to a quarterback like Lamar Jackson. This offense has to be designed to allow everything to look similar so that he can flourish in that pass game. It can't just be straight drop back. You can't ask him to go, hey, we're going to run it 35 times, and then 20 times we're going to ask you to go straight drop back, go pick them apart. That's just not the way offenses flow in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. By the way, we were talking about his COVID status. So he did test negative for days yesterday. He officially did test positive. But, Max, I want to come to you on this. Obviously, I know the AFC North is a gauntlet in itself. But how many teams, and I'm putting you on the spot here, I don't know if you have them out in front of you, how many teams would you say right now are better than the Ravens in the AFC?
There's one team that's better than every team in the AFC, and that's the Chiefs, who just rebuilt their offensive line. Mm-hmm. And the reason they lost the Super Bowl is because Mahomes is running for his life the whole time. He's still spectacular. You could not do a better job on paper of rebuilding the line the way the Chiefs have. The Chiefs, the Titans are right there. Maybe I put them a little bit ahead of the Ravens right now. The Browns, I would probably put a little bit ahead of the Ravens. The Bills. And then what's interesting is the AFC now is at a place where the special quarterbacks aren't yet on good teams because they're so young, right? When you look at Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, when you look at, and especially with Deshaun Watson's off-field problems, but the Texans aren't good anyway, Trevor Lawrence, those guys are hopefully going to lead powerhouse teams one day, but that's not today. So there are no real teams with clear-cut advantages over the Ravens. Like, that guy's better than Lamar Jackson, except for the Chiefs. But I would say the Browns, Titans, Bills, and the Dolphins are going to be interesting. And I'll give you one more not in the regular season, but in the playoffs, the Pats. Because if you're going to ask me who I trust more once the playoffs start, if both teams get there, Bill Belichick scheming or Lamar Jackson running, if they can't get the passing game together to the level they might like, I prefer Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and I would also put in there, I would say the Colts, if Carson Wentz plays even decent, the way the defense for the Colts played last year, Jonathan Taylor, that offensive line, that sets them. The thing about the AFC, and I'll say this, even including the Chiefs, this is a tough conference. I think it's substantially better than the NFC as a whole. I think it's basically the Bucs and Packers. But you basically named six or seven teams that really would have a shot. I mean, think about the Colts last year. They should have beaten the Bills in the playoffs in Buffalo. And the Bills run all the way through and ultimately had to play the Chiefs. All these teams are really tight. And what the point you brought up is probably the best point. The quarterbacks are really the difference makers on those teams. So if Lamar can take his team to that next level, then you give him advantage, right? Carson Wentz takes him. Tannehill takes it, right? All those teams, it's all predicated on if their quarterback can go up just a little bit to really compete with the Chiefs, because we know Mahomes is in a class all by himself. But those other teams are
ahead of the Ravens
to win if those QBs play. And, the Ravens, they have to depend on Lamar Jackson. Their whole offense is right. predicated on that dual threat. So he has to play well for them to have
any shot. And that's the point, Jeff. Jeff, that's the point. When you look at the Pats, maybe the Pats, but can Cam do it? Can Matt, the same thing with the Dolphins, right? Can Tua progress? But, like, the teams themselves are more ready, it looks like, than the quarterback. And that's the same with the Titans. Titans have a good quarterback, but is he a great one? The Bills are the one that stand out. Maybe they have a team at least as good as the Ravens, if not better, and a quarterback. Yeah,
definitely.
Maybe. Yeah. Right? Like, but there's no – all the special guys who you'd like more than Lamar aren't on teams yet. They're too young in their careers, and their teams aren't good enough yet.
Yeah. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Camp takes, let's get it. Looking at the odds from Caesars William Hill, Tampa Bay, the odds on favorite to win the NFC South, also the favorite to win the conference. Once again, returning all 22 starters from the Super Bowl. Jeff Saturday knows about winning Super Bowls. He's back with us. Jeff, I'll start with you with our camp takes. We see that the Bucs are the favorites to win it all again. So I ask you this, will they run it back?
Ooh, it's always tough because history tells me no. But my mind's telling me yes. You know what I mean?
I think we
got them going. Listen, this is what I like about the Bucs. First of all, Bruce Arians, their head coach, is one of those guys who never lets you rest on what you've done. He's always challenging you, pushing you, you know, making you try to be your best. He's always holding you accountable. Tom Brady, very similar, right? This guy's, you know, early 40s. And I don't know if I've ever seen a player more hungry than or hungrier than Tom Brady. I mean, this guy wins Super Bowls, and he's already talking about the next one. So you have that. Then you flip it over to the defensive side. Todd Bowles, one of the best defensive coordinators in the game. You watched what he did as the season progressed after the bye week and into the playoffs, how well that defense. And they're loaded. They brought everybody back. So when you look at all these things, and then I couple that with the NFC, I think the NFC is far behind the AFC as far as competitive teams. I think Green Bay gives Tampa Bay, the biggest challenge. But when I look at the AFC, I think they're much deeper throughout the league. So as I'm looking at this, I go, man, like Tampa Bay, I really do give them a shot to run this thing back and look forward really to watching it. I mean, this team's loaded to bear, and you just got to see if they can execute.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win again just because the odds are against repeating. You know, you don't pick a one team against the field usually, and they just won. And luck was also on their side. I know luck is the residue of design. Brady keeps himself in great shape and great condition. He pays attention to it. Maybe that also affected the offensive line because really their line was healthier than the other lines. Why did the Bucs win the Super Bowl? Because Brady because the two best teams they played, right, the Green Bay Packers and then the Kansas City Chiefs, and those are the three best quarterbacks in the game. The Packers had injury on the offensive line. The Chiefs' offensive line was wiped out.
Yep.
Wiped out. I mean, it wasn't really a game because the Chiefs – did you see what the Chiefs did in the offseason to that offensive line? I mean, you could – the two teams
yes,
that I thought like, well, you have real problems on the line, and we're like, oh, my God, you can't do better than that. The Jets in the draft to supplement what they already had on the left side. The Chiefs – we were just talking about the Ravens. They're not going to have Orlando Brown. You know why? Because – he's on the Chiefs.
Right.
They traded him to the Chiefs, which I think is nuts. You don't trade that guy. You don't trade a premier left tackle to the team that you're competing against for AFC supremacy, you would hope. And that's the issue they have. They went and got Tooney. They have Remmers on the right side. They brought in, what's his name, Blythe from the Rams. Jeff, you're more qualified than anyone to talk about center play, but he's like among the better centers in the game. on paper, their yes. offensive line could not have been fixed better. And then you have to factor in the luck element, too. Look, they were super healthy last year at the right time, the Bucs, and they were playing teams that weren't. So not only would they have to rely on the Chiefs not also falling apart on the line, getting hurt and all that, and the Packers too, but then they'd also have to get lucky and stay healthy again. I just think there are too many variables to pick them as the winner again. They have as good a chance as anyone. If you ask me who's going to win the Super Bowl, I'll tell you the Kansas City Chiefs.
Jeff, let's go to the NFC. Who's the biggest threat to them? To the Bucs.
Oh, got to be the Packers. I mean, it's not even close here, Molly. Like, when mm-hmm. you look at Green Bay, I mean, I think of Green Bay similar to how I thought about the Buffalo Bills in the early 90s, right? Like, when Bill Polian had that team and they're going to the AFC Championship game year in and year. Like, the Packers as a team are legit. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, obviously, is a special player. I'm not taking anything away from him. But the things around him, defensively, they've improved. They've improved their run game. I think LaFleur is one of the best play callers in the game. I know everybody takes shots at, you know, should have kicked a field goal. I'm talking about offensive schematic play design. Like, the guy knows what he's doing to get guys open. Devontae Adams, now you're going to bring Cobbie in. Randall Cobb is coming back to him. You have Rodgers, Amari Rodgers from Clemson coming in. This team is going to be another team that they're going to put out on the field that can challenge anybody. And when you think about Aaron Rodgers playing angry again, right, MVP season, all the stuff that's happened in the offseason, they're finally giving way. He's back. He'll want to prove it again. So I like what the Packers are, and I think this is a very tough out for the Bucs. So to me, it's like Bucs are 1A, Green Bay is 1B. I mean, they're very close in my opinion because both offensive lines are good. Both defenses can play when they're healthy. So I like what they can do. And I just think it's going to be who plays the best on that day.
100% agree. I think the Bucs are better than the Packers, but not by much. And I would say this.
Right.
This is why I said the Packers were the biggest winners in the Rodgers situation. Because, Molly, it's one thing to have Rodgers come back, but to mm-hmm. do it under circumstances where he'd be committed. How do you pull that off? He'll be committed now because he had a concession, which is, okay, if I want out, I'm out. Right? So they know they need to convince him to stay. But they're also getting – my whole problem was, I don't care what – and all the experienced Super Bowl champions are telling me this. I still don't believe it. If your quarterback's not all in, your quarterback, you ain't winning no Super Bowl. The quarterback's got to be all in to win a Super Bowl. It's the leader of the team. Full contact sport, got to be all in. How are you going to do that with Rodgers? He doesn't want to be there. They figured it out. Rodgers will be all in. Now think about this. LaFleur comes in. Year one, because McCarthy is outdated, it's not working. LaFleur comes in. Year one, they're in the NFC Championship game. But Rodgers was reduced to a game manager because he was just getting his feet wet with the system. Year two, Rodgers wins MVP. Maybe has the best year of his career. Also in the NFC Championship game. Now we're in year three. You think LaFleur's taking the ball out of Rodgers' hands again with the game on the line? Uh-uh. And Rodgers is coming in with that chip on his shoulder. Jeff, I agree. Tampa won. Packers right behind them.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Let's go. It's day three of Madden Ratings Reveal Week all week long here on ESPN. We'll be unveiling the coveted player ratings in the Madden NFL 22 video game. So every day on SportsCenter, we'll reveal the top 10 players in a different position group. And here's a first look at the top 10 running backs. All right, taking a look right there. And he's here just so he won't get fined. Marshawn Lynch, one of the best to ever play the running back position. They call him Beast Mode.
Definitely
for
one of the most inspirational.
Reason. And now he's also a Madden ratings adjuster. Marshawn Lynch, how we doing this morning? Thank you for getting up with us.
No problem. It's all good, man.
All right. Before we get into all the ratings, all the Madden stuff, you know, I got to ask you this. Any chance I'm going to see a little beast mode action on the gridiron this season?
No, no, no? Not at all. Not at all.
No, not with a period or no with a question mark?
No with an exclamation mark.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Oh, I mean, like, we could talk about that. How do you decide? How do you know it's a no? But let's get on to the stuff we're here for, Marshawn. You're a Cal guy. Aaron Rodgers is a Cal guy. We were debating it earlier in the show. Who won the standoff between him and the Packers?
You said who won the standoff between him and the Packers?
Yeah.
Man, if they don't win a Super Bowl, then they both lost.
If Aaron doesn't win a Super Bowl, then they both lost.
I said if they don't win a Super Bowl, then they both lost. Right.
That's what it's about. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I said that's what it's about.
Yeah, I guess the thing I would say there is, why would you say that for the Packers, though? Because they should have looked ahead to the future if they don't get a ring with him this year?
No, I'm saying that because the whole point of playing the game is to win a Super Bowl. So if you don't win a Super Bowl, then they both was bullshitting and they should have been on their P's and Q's.
It's a family program. Right. It's a family program.
Fair enough. Hey, before we get back to the Madden
stuff. I'm a family man.
Before we get back to the Madden stuff, I want to ask you this. Do you think Russell Wilson will ever win another Super Bowl with Seattle?
To be honest, I hope so. I hope so. They get that guy Carson going. I think they'd be able to do it. You know, Peter, a defensive mastermind, I believe he'd be able to put something together over there. But, you know, for the most part, I would like to see that. I know the work that he put in, so, you feel me? I'd like to see that.
Marshawn, I'm sure every fan of every team has to shout out, oh, this guy's underrated, this guy on Madden, the rating's too low. I'm a Giants fan. I get why Christian McCaffrey is the number one rated or highly rated. For me, he'd be the second-rated guy. Saquon Barkley at 7? The man had 2,000 yards from scrimmage behind no offensive line and a bad quarterback as a rookie. Saquon Barkley at 7? Explain yourself.
It's disrespectful. Come on, Marshawn.
Disrespectful. Nah, man. But, you know, Lil Bro had to sit down for a minute. You know, they doing this off that next-gen stat. So it's basically what have you done for me lately? And you feel me? He been off the radar for a minute, so they gotta, you feel me? They gotta fill him again.
Mm. Where do you have him personally?
You said personally?
Yeah.
I would probably have him a little higher than 7, but you know what I mean? I do want to see some more from my little brody.
I want to ask you this. You know, I was looking at your Instagram. I see there's a lot of beast mode things happening in Vegas. Looks fun, exciting. Then I see you out here introducing teams, the Kraken. I want to play that sound real quick.
Marshawn, take it away.
Let's see. So this the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the first pick, we're going with the boy Cali, though. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep, Cali Yarncrow.
Cali Yarncrow. Cali, if I didn't pronounce it right, tap in with me and let me know how to do it the right way, big dog.
I love it. You're having a lot of fun out there. When's the broadcast career starting? What's next for
Never.
Beast Mode?
Man, you know, I'll be kicked back, man. I'm trying to stay out the way, man.
No. Except in Vegas, because it looks like that's a good time in Vegas when the NFL games are happening.
But see, though, that's every now and then I got to pop out, so you feel me? That's just one of the times I'm actually going to pop out. But for the most part, you know, just trying to make some moves and, you know, continue the legacy.
Yeah, you got to pick and choose your spots. If you're going to leave the house, you got to make it worth it. I relate to that. I understand that.
So why not Vegas?
I get you. I hear you.
When Molly was introducing you, Marshawn, I said, you know, definitely one of the most inspirational running backs ever because, you know, watch Marshawn Lynch run. that you feel like you could do anything. Look at that. But what I want to know, break wall. Look at that.
Weight of the world on his shoulders.
It's possible. But before we let you go, I want to know if there's a running back on this Madden top 10 list that we reviewed before that you feel runs the ball like you did.
Yeah, you know what? I like the way Nick Chubb. I like the way he run that thing. Derrick Henry, I like the way that, you know what I mean? They put their body on.
What was the first name? I didn't hear.
Nick Chubb. Those were the two. We were talking about Goldfarb. Yep. We were talking about who's he going to say if I ask him this? And one of us said Nick Chubb, and the other said Derrick Henry. Of course. Yep. Of course. Yes.
It's a couple of them on there that I didn't see too. Kareem Hunt, that boy run that thing like mad, and he don't wear no gloves, so you know he gutter with it though. He don't do it with no gloves. He old school Pop Warner, like just give me the ball, let me go ahead and get down. But then I mean, I'm gonna show love to my boy Najee too, even though I know he wasn't on there. But
Pittsburgh's real excited.
I'm pretty
about
sure
Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. You got both the Browns guys, and they're running
both
behind the best O-line.
Yeah.
And they be running. They old school running too. Like, you feel me? You probably could have dropped them off like back in my rookie year and they would have been solid too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that's high praise. Good running. All right, Marshawn, appreciate you. I know you like to lay low, so we appreciate this little camera time.
What I want to know is what moves is he making, Molly? What moves? Because I'm not going to run. I'm not going to be back on the field. Well, what else do we ask him? Are you going to
broadcast?
No, not broadcasting. But then on the other side of your mouth, I'm making moves. What moves?
Look, man, what's said don't need to be explained. But check this out. I'm going to keep on trying to make these plays in the background. You know what I'm talking about?
Move in silence.
Maybe one day when I grow up, I could be just like y'all, except for not on TV.
Okay. Fair enough.
Hard to move in silence on television. That's true.
All right. Marshawn, thank you so much. We appreciate the time. Take care now. Tune in to NFL Live and right here on SportsCenter for exclusive Madden ratings and reels. Don't miss First Take as Alex Smith, Ed Reed, and some of your favorite former players join the show each day to debate the ratings. It's Madden Ratings Reveal Week all across ESPN. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers are going to give it one last go. Aaron balled out last season on his way to the MVP award, but a questionable call in the NFC Championship game brought Rodgers and LaFleur's season to an end. Here's LaFleur on running it back one more time.
You have to have plans for whatever would happen, and I'm just really happy that he's back in the building. He's a part of this football team because, you know, with him, we feel like the sky's the limit. I can say that he is the most competitive person I've ever been around. So there's no doubt about it that he's going to go out there and, and play to the highest of his ability.
I think Aaron, with the time, what he's done for this organization, I think he deserves at least the conversation every year about where we're headed, where he's headed, and to get together and we'll make decisions. The club will always determine what's best for the Green Bay Packers. But I think he's earned the right to have those discussions.
Jeff Saturday's back. Hi, Jeff. Max, you're up first. Talk to me.
I don't think Gutekunst or Murphy really get it yet. That's not that you need to be more obsequious in the presence of Aaron Rodgers. You need to be more deferential toward him. And just, you know, as I said, the Happy Gilmore. You're right, I'm wrong, you're smart, I'm stupid, you're handsome, I'm ugly, like that whole thing. Because Aaron Rodgers, as I've been trying to tell everyone, Jeff, is the decider. The only leverage the Packers, as it turned out, actually had, the only leverage was the cap hit would have been so great if they traded Rodgers this year that Rodgers, being an intelligent person and a conscious person even, would know, like, oh yeah, no team, like, that's too big a hit to take. What if we do it next year? That's why Adam Schefter was talking about that 3 or 4 weeks ago, right? Because and the way it worked out is great for the Packers, Jeff, because they get Rodgers and a committed Rodgers, and they have 1 year to change his mind. But my overarching point with all this, Jeff, is it's Rodgers' mind they have to change. He will be the decider. He will make the decision, and that's what will happen. And now the Packers just bought themselves a year to try to change his mind.
Right.
And in the meantime, go out and win a Super Bowl with a motivated quarterback who's bought in. That's a huge win for the Pack.
Absolutely. And I think the olive branch being extended to get this done before training camp is going to mean a lot in the long term, right? Because the true leverage for Aaron Rodgers wasn't until regular season games happen, right? That's when Jordan Love's forced to play. You see what this team's going to look like for now and probably the immediate future with what Jordan Love is. So the true leverage for Aaron wasn't even for a few weeks. I love the fact that the Packers were like, listen, we're going to extend this right now. Let's get this thing going, bring him back into camp. We really haven't missed any time. I mean, there's been nothing really missed. So as he comes back in the organization, and to your point, Max, the most beneficial fact for the Packers is it gives them a year not only to be productive on the field, but be productive in showing Aaron Rodgers, we've learned that relationships matter. What are we going to do? We're going to trade for Randall Cobb, one of your boys, right? Bringing him back so Cobbie can play with you. We got Amari Rodgers, right? He's going to be on the squad. We're going to try to get Devontae Adams' contract done. So now you know that we're committed here. There's a lot of things the Packers can show to Aaron Rodgers over the next few months leading up until next March that say, hey, man, we want you to stay here. We want you to lead this organization. And if they win a Super Bowl, if they win it, all of a sudden, now you talk about legacy. You've won two now here, Aaron. We want you to stay, retire a Packer. This is even greater than what Brett Favre was here for our organization. I mean, how cool would that be for the Packers? So you're right. They're all in on it. They gave the olive branch if you can get out, but they have bought themselves time, which honestly is the most important thing they could have given themselves with this Aaron Rodgers saga.
Well, and just imagine what happens for everyone involved. Like, everyone wins here. I think the Packers are the biggest winners because they were out Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely.
Oh, they have all the leverage. No, they didn't. The only leverage they had, as I said, was the cap hit they were going to take because Rodgers was aware of it, right? And it made it untenable to trade him. But think about this. They're going to compete for a Super Bowl this year. They went to an NFC Championship game
Absolutely.
Before Rodgers really knew LaFleur. They almost won an NFC Championship game, and that was with LaFleur taking the ball out of Rodgers' hands. Let me take the ball out of the MVP's hands, hand it to the GOAT. Hey, GOAT, go get a first down, and then you win. Like, that's never going to happen again. So they will compete, maybe win a Super Bowl this year. And then after that, Jeff, they have their exit plan. If they haven't convinced Rodgers to stay, not only do they have the heir apparent already in Jordan Love with more experience under his belt, they're going to get like three firsts and a second and a third for Rodgers. And Rodgers is going to have competed for another Super Bowl, going to establish his power and called the shot on how his Green Bay career would end. He wasn't being dictated to. And then he's going to play for exactly who he wants to play for. Because if they try to trade him anywhere he doesn't want to be, he'll simply say, well, I'm not going to sign with these guys. And they're not going to give you three
That's
firsts
right.
and something else for him. It's win-win, but I think the biggest one is for Green Bay because they actually had a worse hand to play here.
Really quickly, before we move on, can we just take a moment and see Aaron Rodgers back on the field again? Because he is arguably the greatest quarterback, him and Patrick Mahomes, and we will have him on the field again. This is an exciting moment. We've been talking about it for 89 days. I was going to show you. There's some video of
and
him.
And Tom Brady, Molly. You're
right
so
now,
down on Brady. Why would you not include Brady?
Oh, yeah, Tom Brady. My
Tom
bad.
Brady,
but
too.
Look,
I mean, Molly.
We got Aaron Rodgers out there ready to go. I mean, come on. We should feel good about this.
Well, you like Brady.
I love Brady, but I thought Rodgers was going to sit. I'm happy we're going to have him.
You said the greatest of Mahomes and Rodgers.
Oh,
and
my
you
God.
Kind of Brady there. I don't know.
Whatever, Cliff. Let's carry on now. The 49ers traded up in the draft to take Trey Lance with the third overall pick. The team doesn't need Lance to play right away, though, because they still have Jimmy Garoppolo, who took the team all the way to the Super Bowl 2 years ago before falling to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Here's Kyle Shanahan talking about whether the team will have an open quarterback competition.
Yeah, there's no open competition right now in terms of they're getting equal reps with the same group. Jimmy's coming in as the one. Jimmy and Trey's coming in as the two. Trey's had 7 practices with us, and haven't seen him for 40 days, so not thinking about that right now. Just having Jimmy go in, he's our starter, and you're going to give all those guys every opportunity to improve. And if someone ever looks like they give us a better chance to win, we'll make that decision then.
Jeff, should there be an open quarterback competition?
Heck no. Listen, first of all, I love the Shanahan calls of Jimmy like that. Isn't that what it's Seinfeld? Like, Jimmy, like just I'm just thinking of Shanahan right now and what he has going on in his head. When Jimmy G is healthy, you're 24-8. Like, you win games. You've went to the Super Bowl. You understand that your team is good enough to win right now. Let Jimmy play until Trey Lance has proven on the practice field, I can take this guy's job. Let's not forget, as talented as Trey Lance looks, he's played 17 college games. So he needs some experience. I think he's had less than 10 practices with the 49ers. So you need to allow him to get in, get involved, begin to really understand this offense. Now, once he hits his stride, Trey Lance, the ceiling, I mean, it's a skyrocket, right? From Jimmy G and Trey Lance, I completely understand the differences once you bring in all the different run game options, all that. But you have to allow Trey Lance to develop as a quarterback in the NFL. The coverages, the disguises, all the reads you're going to have, it's different from where he has been playing in North Dakota State. So as I look at this, I think Shanahan's playing this perfectly, and he understands, look, we can win now. And as we bring Trey Lance along, that's why he said, when somebody proves they're ready to play to make us a better team, we'll put them in. He's given himself the out. He's handled this tremendously well from a head coaching perspective.
Yeah, some people would argue, Molly, that, in fact, the team took Jimmy G to the Super Bowl and Jimmy G didn't take them, right?
Yeah.
But I would just say what Jeff brought up, no. It's not just that he's 24-8 for the Niners. Well, because he has a genius for a head coach who, you know, knows the offense. It's that if he was so replaceable or easily replaced, and it was really just about the head coach, why is it that the team's record, same exact team, is almost exactly
right.
The opposite when he doesn't play? Because he's been injured a lot, we have a fairly large sample size. He's 24-8 when healthy, the team is, and they're almost
right.
Like 8-24 when not healthy, something very close to that.
That's
so
right.
Clearly he has value, he can play the position. Couple that with the fact that no rookie quarterback ever has been to a Super Bowl. That doesn't mean it'll never happen. That doesn't mean it'll never happen. If Trey Lance is just, oh, my God, he's ready, fine. It's just, it indicates the odds are against it because it's really hard to get NFL ready on that level in 1 year. They have
exactly.
A perfect situation. They have a competitive team. It's been to the Super Bowl recently. They have a quarterback who's one throw away. But he missed that throw. But next time he might hit it.
That's right.
Like Jimmy G, maybe he's a 50-50 proposition on that throw. But he can help get you there and maybe hit it next time. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, you have a more talented player ready to take the reins when either Jimmy G gets hurt, which he often does, or Trey Lance gets more experienced. It's really a great situation for San Francisco.
Yeah, listen, let me say this. I've heard everybody talk about the Chicago Bears trying to trying to compare them to the Kansas City Chiefs when it was Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. I would say that San Francisco's situation is more like that, right? Like, you knew what Alex Smith was when he was in Kansas City. And I'm taking out the injuries and all that to Jimmy G.
Exactly,
but I'm saying you know that Alex Smith was good enough to take you to the playoffs and be successful until Patrick Mahomes clearly showed. I liken those two situations to each other. When you think about the situation, the 49ers, their team is built to win right now. They're in a really tough division. The defenses can get after you. They can rush the passer. They can give you disguises and different looks. But also, as Trey Lance progresses, if it becomes down to the end of this season, they're like, hey, Lance is our guy. I think Shanahan understands they can win with him as well. So I like the situation for where San Francisco is. I think they are very similar, in my opinion, to what the Kansas City Chiefs were hoping with the transition from Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying Trey Lance is Patrick Mahomes, so don't blow me up on Twitter. I'm saying the situation, everybody.
Can we put an end to that, by the way? Every time someone in the sports media says, hey, this guy does something like this great player, oh, you're saying they're not.
Right.
No, it's their analogous situations.
There's a similarity.
In certain respects.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Let's talk about another quarterback that was drafted pretty highly in April, guys. Justin Fields selected 10th by the Bears and Chicago fans. Excited to see him play. But they're going to have to wait, though. Head coach Matt Nagy insists that Andy Dalton will be the starter. Dalton gave his thoughts on this situation. Take a listen.
It comes with that position. He's a first-round pick. I understand that. But I also understand that I'm the starter. And I understand that I knew I signed a one-year deal. I knew that I was going to come in. I was going to be the starter, regardless of the situation coming in. And so that's my focus. I'm not worried about all the stuff that's going to be going on with Justin, because that doesn't affect me. At the end of the day, it's what I'm going to be doing and everything. And Justin and I have a really good relationship, and I'm trying to help him out as much as I can.
Max,
yeah.
Should there be a quarterback competition in Chicago?
Not yet. And the reason I say that is this. This is not like the Niners situation. The Bears have to get this right. The Bears are not ready to win a Super Bowl with Andy Dalton, maybe, as maybe San Francisco is with Jimmy G. The Bears have never really had a good quarterback. Not really. Ever had a good quarterback. Justin Fields may be the guy. You have to make sure, Jeff, when you hand him that ball, you're not taking it back for 15 years. So whenever they feel like Justin Fields is ready to take the ball and keep it, that's when you give it to him. If that's week one, week 10, year two, whatever. When that moment comes, you give him the ball.
I agree with you, but I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. When I think about Justin Fields, I think he's the second best quarterback in this draft. Played at Ohio State. This guy had like 80-something touchdowns and less than 10 turnovers. This dude has played big-time college football and continued to show you he's a winner. He finds ways to win. Everybody tried to tear him down there in the draft. He's not this. He's not that. You know what he does do? He wins. So when I look at him with the Chicago Bears, I think he has an opportunity. I do think you have to wait for Andy Dalton to start the season, but I think that move happens quickly as Justin understands this offense.
All right. All I know is we're getting closer to real football, and that makes me happy. So that's my big
gem
of the
day.
Goodbye, everyone.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.